Today's lesson is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. In this reading, Isaiah foresees the final glory of God's people, uniting all humanity in knowing the true God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. We will read responsively by full verse. I will begin with verse 1. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously, and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the little hills bring righteousness.
He shall defend the needy among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor.
He shall live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
He shall come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time shall the righteous flourish. There shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall pay tribute, and the kings of Arabia and Saba offer gifts.
All the kings shall bow down before him, and all the nations do him service.
For he shall deliver the poor who cries out in distress, and the oppressed who has no helper.
He shall have pity on the lowly and poor. He shall preserve the lives of the needy.
He shall redeem their lives from oppression and violence, and dear shall their blood be in his sight.
The epistle for today is from Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, regarding Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, who whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord risen upon you. Wow. That's a wonderful, wonderful acknowledgement of us as Christians. That's Epiphany. Today we celebrate Epiphany. We leave the Christmas season behind, shifting from rejoicing at God's coming among us in the person of Jesus to reflecting on what his coming means in our lives. Just exactly what does Epiphany mean to us personally and to the wider world in which we live? Epiphany started out as a purely religious concept. January 6th was celebrated as the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentile world. But in the 19th century, the word Epiphany was expanded beyond its religious roots. Since then, Epiphany has also come to mean a sudden revelation, an illuminating discovery, a satori, or in colloquial terms, an aha or light bulb moment. The cartoon light bulb, right? Epiphany is the aha of our faith. But what exactly does that mean? What does the word epiphany mean as it relates to our spiritual lives in Christ, to us here and now? The Feast of Epiphany still commemorates the day when the Magi, also known as the Three Kings, or in the King James Version, the Wise Men, arrive in Bethlehem and worship the Christ child. Christians believe and celebrate that on Epiphany, Christ was revealed to all the peoples of the earth. The word Magi originally meant the priests of Parsium. A Persian monotheistic religion preached by Zoroaster during the 6th century BC. While Christian tradition holds that the Magi were kings, A more precise definition is that they were priests and astrologers. They were scholars from another culture, from another religion. They were the quintessential Gentiles to the Hebrews. Epiphany celebrates that God loves Gentiles as well as Jews, that God loves all, that God's plan of salvation includes all people, Jews and Gentiles, the whole world. Epiphany, however, is about much more than simply the inclusion of the Gentiles in our church. It celebrates the breaking down of the walls that divide people. As the writer of Ephesians will later say, he has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. Epiphany challenges us to reconsider our view of peoples whom we may see as outside the boundaries of God's love, because they're so alien to us, we can't comprehend that God created them too. How could he? They're so different. It challenges us to abandon tribalism and to welcome even those whom we may prefer not to love. Let's face it, some people are pretty difficult to love, right? And they may not even be in another tribe. They may be your own, but we'll talk about that later. Loving those outside our tribe, our group, is difficult. But Christ makes it possible. That is the full epiphany message. All things are possible through Christ. So what can we learn from the story of the Magi? What lessons apply to your life? Well, I would say first, be brave. Follow the star. Follow Christ. When you are not sure what your goal is, ask for direction. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? Now, the Magi ask. That was the right thing to do, even if they asked the wrong person, Herod, which, you know, they did. But my recommendation would be, when you're not sure, ask God, and then listen for that still small voice for God to tell you, for God to give you direction. It may not come as promptly as the GPS you program on the dash. It may be frustrating to have to wait, but I believe if we ask God for direction through Christ, it will come. The faith part is hanging in there until you get the message. I think another thing is to be happy in Christ. When they saw the star that had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. I think we should be happy in our discipleship to Jesus the Christ. Acknowledge Christ as your Savior. When they entered the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Acknowledge that you're a follower of Christ. I think the other is give of yourself. Put your treasure where your worship is, where your heart is. Epiphany invites us to ponder what gifts we can offer God's world. What talents, interests, and passions may we now offer Jesus by giving our gifts to those around us, especially to those in need? This is a core part of our Episcopal theology of ministry of all the baptized. You hear me talk about this a lot. We believe that with our baptism comes gifts of the Spirit. Paul wrote about that a lot. Gifts which we call ministries. Gifts that enable us to be giving and caring Christian people. Gifts that enable us to give our best to the King of all creation, Jesus the Christ. Another point that I think is important is to trust your dreams. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Trust your dreams. Trust the still small voice. Listen. God does speak to us. Follow the road which Christ has laid out for you. When you leave the place where you meet Jesus, the place of your own personal epiphany, you will travel by another road for the rest of your life, a road that is informed by your knowledge of the Christ. Like the Magi, you will perceive the glory and the grace of God, of God's redemption, a bright star leading you to our Savior and our Lord. We look into the darkness, confident that Jesus, God's Word made flesh, our Emmanuel, shines in the darkness, and that darkness will not overcome it. Today, may each of you feel the aha of the epiphanal moment and move forward in your lives with the sure and certain knowledge that Christ has come to all, even us. Use that knowledge to go forth and be Christ's light in our darkened world. As the prophet Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord risen upon you." Amen.